You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
Good morning, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily on this Tuesday, December the 1st. I am your host, Mike, and boy, do we have a lot to talk about in the world of the Miami Dolphins. First and foremost, at the top of the show, I want to thank everyone at ESPN Radio Honolulu for having me on Monday night as a guest to talk about the Miami Dolphins, their season, Tua Tagovailoa, and all that stuff. So thank you to everyone at ESPN Radio Honolulu for having me on. Can't wait to join you guys again. Let's get into the big story from Monday. And the big news story was that the Miami Dolphins Week 16 game against the Las Vegas Raiders was moved to Saturday, December the 26th, 8:15 Eastern kickoff time, primetime national game on the NFL Network going across the whole country. So the Miami Dolphins get a spotlight game here at the end of the year, Week 16 versus the Raiders. Not a surprise, this was very much expected, because when the NFL put out their schedule, you know, they scheduled some games for the 26th and 27th because they didn't know which games are going to be moved. They needed to see which games mattered, and this is one of the bigger games of that weekend, if not the biggest game of the weekend. So now it gets a national airing, a national outlet on the NFL Network. Not a shock, and this game is huge. This game is so big in so many ways, as the AFC playoff picture is so congested and so tight that tiebreaker from this game will loom large, and it might be a game where it knocks the loser out of the playoff picture, all depending on how the tiebreakers sort of shake out and stuff. So this is a big game, and not a surprise it was moved to Saturday, but it is Saturday, December the 26th, 8:15 Eastern. So if you got family coming in for the holidays, you got relatives coming in for that weekend, Christmas, all that stuff, make sure they're either A, out of the house, send them to a movie, if there are any movie theaters open, I guess. I'm not sure if there are any. Just make sure you get some time in front of the big screen TV Saturday night, December 26th at 8:15 to watch the Dolphins and the Raiders play a big game. Now, there's pros and there's cons to this game being moved. And again, it's not a surprise. I'm sure the Miami Dolphins were prepared for this, because this is not a shock that it was moved to prime time. I guess the only question was, would they play at 4 or 8 on that Saturday? Because this was very much expected in many circles. There's pros and cons. Here's the con. The con is the Miami Dolphins now have a short week where you're traveling across the entire country to play the Raiders team. And it's also a holiday week. So on Christmas Day, they'll probably be in the air flying across the entire country. Short week, because they play on a Sunday before. Now they play on a Saturday. So that, you know, not great for the Miami Dolphins. The other flip side is you have the Raiders, who will be playing at home weeks 14, 15, and 16. And week 15, they play on a Thursday night. So while the Miami Dolphins have a short week to prepare for the Raiders have extended time because they play on a Thursday. So they have extended time in the lead up to that game against Miami, and they're at home. So that's the con. Is what it is, not an excuse. Just pointing it out. That's all I'm doing, just pointing it out, how the Raiders will have a little bit of extra rest to get their guys with their bumps and their bruises, and if they're nicked up and if they're hurt and sore, they're going to have some extra time to rest and heal. Well, Miami will have a short week, and they have to fly across the country. And they have to be away from their family on Christmas. So just one of those things. Now, on the flip side, the positive here, that Week 17 game that the Miami Dolphins have versus the Buffalo Bills, the Miami Dolphins now have two extra days to rest here compared to the Bills. And here's why. Because obviously they play on a Saturday and they pick up a day because they won't play to the following Sunday. So you gain a day. And the Bills, they have a short week because their Week 16 game is on Monday night. So the Bills will have a short week preparing for the Miami Dolphins, week 17, and the Miami Dolphins get an extra day because they play on a Saturday. So there's pros and there's cons, all depending on which way you look at it. Hopefully that week 17 game matters. Hopefully it matters. If it doesn't, then, I mean, you pick up the extra day, but it might not matter. Hopefully that game is for the AFC East. We don't know that. We won't know that for a while, but I know the Raiders game is going to be important. I know that Raiders game, because if you look at the Raiders schedule here, the final month of the year, you know, they have a soft landing. They play at the Jets, who stink. They're home against the Colts. Okay. Home against the Chargers, who stink. Miami, and then they play at the Broncos, who stink. So they got the Jets, Chargers, and the Broncos, who all stink. Now, I know the Raiders just lost to Atlanta, who also stinks, but you will think, you would have to think, final month of the year, having three of your final five at home against some bad teams here that, you know, they're probably not going to slip up twice. I mean, they could, but I would guess they probably won't. I can't see them losing to the Jets, the Chargers, or the Broncos. Indianapolis and Miami, those games are toss-ups, clearly. So the Raiders have a little bit of an easy schedule. That's why that game versus Miami is so big. If the Miami Dolphins can put a loss on the Raiders, that's huge. And if they can own a tiebreaker over them, that is just, you know, terrific. So that's the deal here with the schedule and the schedule change there, that week 16, now Miami on the NFL Network. Next topic I want to talk about is we're in the month of December, and the Miami Dolphins are playing meaningful football games the final month of the year. And as a fan, that's all you can ask for. This is a great thing. But you look at this team now with all the injuries they've had and all of the, you know, guys in the roster, out of the roster, or guys in the lineup, out of the lineup, and all the shuffling. You know, what are the two biggest issues, I guess is the word, facing the Dolphins here in this stretch run, in this final month of the year? And, you know, some people might think it's the offensive line. It's not the offensive line. Some people might think it's the quarterback. You know, one week it's this guy, one week it's that guy. It's not the quarterback situation. Some people might think it's the lack of a consistent pass rush some weeks. It's not the defense. It's not the pass rush. The two biggest issues facing the Dolphins this final month of the year are running back and wide receiver. You know, you look at this team overall, and on defense, they have been elite probably since October on. They have been so good, you know, 9 times out of 10. They have been very good. You look at this team overall, the coaching from head coach Brian Flores to Josh Boyer and, yes, Chan Gailey. Don't give me no Chan Gailey hate. Those three have been terrific this year. Fantastic. Superb. So you look at the defense. You look at the special teams. They've also been great. You look at the coaching. They've been great. Those groups are going to be great the final month of the year. It now comes down to the offense. And what are the two glaring issues the Miami Dolphins have on offense? They are running back and they are wide receiver. Now, the running back situation, I have some hope for. Because I know, because we've seen it this year with our own two eyes, when Miles Gaskin and Salvin Ahmed return to the lineup, I know those are two guys I can depend on to make plays. Are they, you know, Jim Brown and Walter Payton? No. Are they Larry Zonka and O.J. Simpson? No. But they're capable NFL running backs who can make plays to help you win games. And if they're healthy and they're on the field, that running back situation, I have no worries about. The question is, when will they be healthy? Will they be 100%? And when will we see them on the field? And those are the questions we don't have answers for yet. So I have a little hope there that at some point here, maybe it's not this week against the Bengals. Maybe they feel they can beat the Bengals with Matt Breida, Patrick Laird, and DeAndre Washington. Maybe they feel that way and they give, you know, Salvin Ahmed and Miles Gaskin an extra week of rest. We'll see. We'll see. The wide receiver position does scare me a bit more. Here's why. After DeVante Parker, I don't know if there's another wide receiver currently on this roster who can play in a game that you can trust. And that's kind of scary. Because you look at the rest of the wide receivers, Jakeem Grant, is fine. He's capable. He'll make a few plays a game. But he's not a guy who's going to strike fear into an opponent. And he's not a guy who you're going to call up his number. You know, 9 times out of 10, if a pass is going to Jakeem Grant, you know, he ain't the first read on the play. So it's like you're checking off from your first read, going through your, you know, heading through your progressions, and you see Grant's open, you throw him the ball. So there's that. The other thing is, after Grant, now it really becomes slim pickings. Malcolm Perry, heading into Sunday's game, the previous 2 weeks, he's been on the field 40% of the snaps at wide receiver. And he actually has played well at wide receiver. The issue is he left Sunday's game versus Jeff's injured, and we don't know when he'll be back. If Malcolm Perry can get back on the field, like, they need him back on the field because he's probably the best of the rest of the Miami Dolphins wide receiver. So Perry, hopefully he can get healthy and get back on the field ASAP. Mac Hollins, you know, he played a lot versus the Jets. He's okay. He's got nice size. He can use his body to make a couple catches each week in a game, but doesn't get a lot of separation. Antonio Callaway, like I said on the postgame wrap-up show, when he became active this year, and myself included, I think, you know, we expected a lot out of Antonio Callaway. It was probably unfair. This kid, you know, missed all that time on the practice field, being able to work with the team. Now he is on the practice field, but each week it seems like it's a new quarterback, all depending on, you know, injuries, whether it's Fitzpatrick, whether it's Tua Tagovailoa. You're throwing a lot on his plate at once, and there's not many more weeks left. So to think he is going to become a major factor in this offense this year, it's probably unrealistic. But, you know, he is a healthy body at this point, and they need all the healthy bodies they can get at wide receiver. This wide receiver group, it's, you know, I think the fate of the 2020 season as we head into these final five games sort of hinges on that wide receiver group, because that is the position group right now with the most question marks, and I'm not sure what the answers are. Like, at running back, I know what the answer is. I know what the answers are. It's we need to get back Miles Gaskin and Salvon Ahmed healthy. And once they're healthy, you can at least say, okay, we're okay there. At wide receiver, who's going to step up? Who's going to make plays? Who is going to become someone you can trust and count on in that role opposite Parker? Or, you know, it's not going to be one guy. It's going to take a village. Okay, it's clearly going to take a village of multiple guys. But who are those guys going to be? Because I'm not sure. And I don't know if they know. Hopefully the tight ends, they continue to play well because they have played well most of this year. Yesterday as well, or I should say Sunday as well versus the Jets, they played well. But the wide receiver position kind of scares me the most. Hopefully Malcolm Perry's back. And hopefully some of these young guys, you know, really seize this opportunity here, the final five games of the year, to make an impact, make some plays. You know, Lynn Bowden Jr. was on the field a lot versus Jets, partly because Malcolm Perry left the field hurt. You know, hopefully he can start making some plays and such, because they're going to be in some of these games here the rest of the way, like the game against the Chiefs, like the game against the Raiders, like the game week 17 versus the Buffalo Bills, where they're going to have to score some serious points on offense to win. You know, they're not going to be able to win those games in low-scoring affairs. They're going to have to keep up with teams who can score, and that's going to be a challenge for this Miami team with what they have weapons-wise in the passing game. So hopefully we get some guys healthy at running back. Hopefully we get back Malcolm Perry, and some of these young guys here really seize the opportunity they have at wide receiver, because that's a golden opportunity here to get a lot of playing time in big games late in the year. And if they can make plays, wow, they're going to have a bright future here. But, you know, someone's really got to step up, and we haven't seen that yet. Last topic I want to talk about, and the last topic is about you, fans of the Miami Dolphins. We have to have a heart-to-heart. We have to have a sit-down moment here, and we have to, you know, go over a few things. Now, I know being a fan of the Miami Dolphins the past 20 years hasn't been a whole lot of fun. In fact, many times it's kind of sucked, because this team has put us through hell and back. A lot of misery, a lot of pain, a lot of disappointment, a lot of losing. Trust me, I get it. I am 43 years old. I was there in the 80s and 90s when the team won a lot, and I've been there the past 20 years when this team's lost a lot. And trust me when I say, winning is a whole heck of a lot more fun than losing. But I do understand there is a segment of this fan base that has really never enjoyed the Miami Dolphins being a winning franchise. I get it. I feel your pain. I have empathy towards you. And I have, oh, I guess you'd say I have sympathy, for you. But, right now in 2020, the Miami Dolphins are 7-4. They're about to play a god-awful Cincinnati Bengals team who doesn't have a quarterback. They're going to go to 8-4 heading into the final four games of the year. And, there's a segment of this Miami Dolphins fan base that is absolutely miserable, cranky, and so negative. And, I often get called the negative one. But, there's a segment of this fan base out there, which I saw on Sunday during the game versus the Jets, that is cranky, negative, just down. It's like, what? I mean, guys, let me give you some advice. Sit back, take a deep breath, and enjoy the ride. Relax and enjoy the ride. This Miami Dolphins franchise has turned a corner. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to win the next four or five games, win the AFC East, get home playoff. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we're going to be, we're 7-4. We're going to be 8-4 after Sunday, and we're going to go into the final month playing big games for a chance to win the AFC East and a chance, at worst, who get a wild card spot. And I like our chances to at least get a wild card spot. If they come up short, okay, not the end of the world, but I do like our chances. But, I'm on Sunday's game versus the Jets, a game which was never in doubt. They won 20-3, and the Jets were never a threat to score a touchdown, really. They were so miserable, the Jets. And, I'm seeing fans of the Dolphins as the Miami Dolphins are tap dancing at MetLife Stadium all over the Jets, all over Adam Gase. They're having their way with the Jets. And I'm seeing fans complaining about the play calling. I'm seeing fans, ripping Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm seeing fans complaining, saying the dumbest thing I ever heard. Well, if we were playing any other team, we would lose. Yeah, but we're not playing any other team. We were playing the New York Jets. And it doesn't have to be pretty. There's no such thing as style points. And there is not one team in the NFL, not one, that has their A game each and every week throughout a 17-week season where you play 16 games over seven. Not one team plays, beautiful, perfect ball each and every week. There's going to be weeks where it's going to be a little bit ugly. And there's going to be weeks where everything doesn't go perfect. But when you still win those weeks, that's a good thing. And if you're going to complain about that, honestly, I don't know why you're a fan of the NFL or why you're a fan of the Dolphins. Because would you rather have this team be like it's been for the past 20 years where they've lost, it's been misery, they're never in the playoff hunt, they're just embarrassing to watch? Would you rather have that, or would you rather take an ugly win to go to 7-4 at the end of November? Seriously, folks, chill out. Chill out. A couple things. When, people say, once again, that dumbass statement, if we were playing any other team, we would have lost. Look, this is a week-to-week league in the NFL. You play to win that week, okay? You play to win that week. They put together a game plan, and they called a game on Sunday to beat the Jets. They didn't put together a game plan to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They didn't put together a game plan to beat the Las Vegas Raiders. They didn't put together a game plan to beat the Buffalo Bills. They put one together to beat the lowly, pathetic, stinky New York Jets. And a game plan to beat the Jets is simple. Play good defense and don't screw it up on offense. And that's what they did. They played a safe, conservative game on offense because that's all they had to do to beat the Jets. Now, when they play the Chiefs in a couple weeks, guess what? They won't have that same game plan, okay? So, you know, it's just, it's just mind-numbing to hear and read Dolphins fans complain after you win 20-3 on the road against a division rival. It just makes no sense. And, you know, you hear people complain about the game plan. Oh, my God, the pass-run ratio. Oh, we're not trying to run the ball enough. Why would you run the ball when you got your, you know, first off, Howard, who you expected, a lot from when you signed him, he's gone. He was so bad. Then the two young guys who actually played well this year, Miles Gaskin and Salvon Ahmed, they're hurt. They can't play. Why would you run the ball with Matt Breida, who's done nothing this year, Patrick Laird, who's just a guy, and Washington, who's been here a few weeks? You think they're going to line up and run the ball 30 times in a game they have to win? You got to be out of your mind. Are you clueless? That's not going to happen, folks. They're going to put this game in the hands of the people they trust. And who do they trust on offense? Devontae Parker, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Mike Gesicki, and that group. And that's what they did. They put the ball in the hands of the people they trusted because they just had to beat the Jets. They didn't need to open up the playbook to page 212 and find some play that they never run. They didn't have to be, you know, fancy and this, that. They didn't even know who the quarterback was going to be until Saturday, okay? So they did what they had to do to beat the Jets. And if you're complaining about the pass-run ratio and the game plan, how, you know, if they call this game against the Chiefs, they're going to lose. Yeah, no crap. That's why they're not going to call that game against the Chiefs, because they're going to call a different game versus a different opponent. The offense will be different that week. The other thing I saw, which was driving me nuts, was, you know, on social media, you know, if anybody gave even the least bit of praise to Ryan Fitzpatrick, this Twitter mob went absolutely nuts. I saw some of the reporters put out there just making an observation. Like, if you make an observation, it's like a grandiose type statement. Somebody put out there, I forget which reporter, that Ryan Fitzpatrick had more passing yards in the second quarter than Tua did against the Broncos. First off, who cares? It's a meaningless stat. Nobody cares. Second off, it's like, just by making that statement, all of a sudden, the Twitter mob just attacked this person. How can you say that? You can't. Oh, my God. Two is this. Two is that. How can you give any praise to Fitzpatrick? First off, calm down, folks. Okay? Calm down. First off, Ryan Fitzpatrick played a good game versus the Jets. And if you can't admit that, that's on you. That's on you. Ryan Fitzpatrick versus the Jets didn't turn it over. And he didn't make any mistakes to lose the game. Correct me if I'm wrong. In the game against the Rams, after Miami had that amazing second quarter where they scored on a punt return, then a fumble return to the one where they got him an easy touchdown. They scored again on the fumble by Andrew Van, for my boy AVG, picks up the fumble and runs to the end zone. You know, the second half of that game, Tua Tagovailoa didn't do much because he didn't have to. So, you know, you can't have it both ways. Where in that game, you're going to praise him to it. He didn't screw it up. He didn't have to do much. He did what he was told. But then now you're going to rip Fitzpatrick for some reason for what he did versus the Jets, saying this shouldn't count. It wasn't impressive. Blah, blah, blah. You can't have it both ways. So everyone, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick played well. And, you know, you can say Ryan Fitzpatrick played well and still support Tua. Two things can be true at the same time. I didn't know there was a line drawn in the sand where you had to pick sides. And if you're on Team Tua, that means you can no longer say nice things about Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's like, God, people, really, you make yourself look foolish with some of this stuff. You really make yourself look foolish. I think some fans like to get, you know, they make stuff up in their head. They make stuff, these wild scenarios in their head, and they get themselves worked up over nothing. They literally get themselves worked up over nothing. The offense wasn't pretty versus the Jets. So what? They won the game. Okay? This is week set. With all the injuries Miami has, you know, you're missing your starting right guard, Solomon Kinney. You're missing your best two running backs. You're missing your starting quarterback. You're missing Preston Williams. With all that, you know, they still found a way to go out there and win the game easily. I don't care if it's the Jets or not. As I've been saying, the Jets almost beat the Bills at home. They almost beat the Patriots at home. And then they went on a road against the Chargers, and they hung around for four quarters. Miami just wiped the floor with the Jets, and it wasn't close, okay? So, you know, folks getting worked up over it wasn't a good win, it wasn't pretty enough, you know, if there was anybody else we would have lost, who can't, I mean, folks, calm down. Calm down. This is year two of a rebuild with a ton of rookies in the lineup, and if you're expecting perfection week in and week out, boy, you're in for a rude awakening. You really are. You have no perspective of what the NFL is and what the NFL is like. Don't get greedy. Seriously, just be happy they're winning. Don't get greedy. Just be happy they're winning. And, you know, don't worry about style points and how they look and how impressive things are and what the stats were. I mean, really. I mean, just be happy that the Miami Dolphins won. They're playing meaningful football games in December. Would you rather have it be like the past 20 years where they're playing meaningless games in the month of December? You're looking towards the draft, and it doesn't matter if they win or lose. Some of you want them, you know, to win. Some of you want them to lose to get a higher. Would you rather have that? Would you rather have being in that situation than the situation there are now? So don't complain after wins. Don't be a whiny little bitch after the team wins, but they didn't win by enough versus the Jets. And if they play like this for someone else, we get it. We get it. The team won. They're 7-4. They're going to be 8-4. You know why? Because Cincinnati's god-awful. Cincinnati is a steaming pile of hot garbage. And they're going to come to South Florida. They won't put up much of a fight. And the Dolphins will probably win, quote-unquote, ugly again. And they're going to be 8-4. And some of you fans are going to be complaining about that still. It's like, you folks, some of you folks, there's a segment of this fan base that isn't happy unless they're complaining. And I don't get it. I just don't get it. It's like you're waiting for the negative thing to happen. You're waiting for the negative thing to happen. So zip your pie hole, enjoy the victories, and don't be so damn critical about every little imperfection, okay? This team is playing fantastic on defense. They have a fantastic coaching staff in every aspect of the game. And on offense right now, they got a lot of guys hurt. They got a lot of rookies, and they're trying to figure it out. And most weeks they do. Most weeks they do just enough to get a victory. And that was the case versus the Jets on Sunday. So I felt I had to have this conversation with some of you fans of the Miami Dolphins, because sometimes it's better to hear it from someone you love. And I have to have this honest and frank conversation with some of you guys to just enjoy the rest of the 2020 season and don't be so uber critical of every little stinking mistake or every little imperfection or flaw or wart. The Miami Dolphins are in year two of a rebuild. We know they're not perfect, but they're winning games. What more do you want? Seriously, what more do you want? And they're going to head back home to face an awful Cincinnati team this week, and they're going to take care of business once again like they have for the majority of the season. And as fans, you should be grateful, thankful, and happy about that. So that's all for today's show. I would like to thank everyone once again for listening. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk. Follow me on Instagram at Dolphins Talk. At any time big news breaks, I'll break out an emergency press conference Instagram Live. And every Sunday morning, about between 10:30 and 11 a.m. Eastern Time, I do a pregame show about 15 or 20 minutes previewing that Sunday's game with any late-breaking news and any last-minute thoughts I have about that Sunday's game. I'll have one this Sunday for the Cincinnati game. And also check out the website, dolphinstalk.com. Ton of new articles, ton of new podcasts are up on the site. And also, for those of you doing holiday shopping, go to manscaped.com, use the promo code DolphinsTalk, save 20% on your orders. And if you're going to buy any Miami Dolphins gear for friends and family members from the website Fanatics, go to dolphinstalk.com, click on the Fanatics link. If you're on a cell phone, scroll all the way to the bottom. If you're on a computer or tablet, it's on the right-hand side about halfway down. Click on that link for Fanatics. And if it's not something for the Dolphins, say you want to buy something for the Heat, the Marlins, the Yankees, the Mets, the Lakers, the Celtics, or whatever team, any college team, just click that link first, and that leads you into Fanatics, and it helps out our website a little and helps pay some bills. So everyone have a great Tuesday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.